I wonder what you think about the days in which we live. Are they good days? Or are they bad days? Do you think things are going to get better? Or do you think things are going to get worse? Are you an optimist, someone who sees the opportunity in every situation? Or are you a pessimist who sees the difficulty in every situation? Are you a fearful person or are you a faithful person? Fearful and worried about things, maybe globally. We hear a lot about climate change at the moment, or nationally. Brexit is going to happen. We have a new government. Does that bring fear to you? Personally, maybe your finances or your health or just what's going to happen next week. Are you a fearful person? Or are you a faithful person? One who trusts God. One who has confidence in God. Maybe you've known that at times, but maybe faith is on the wane, as it were. Yes, believing what God said in his word, but somehow doubting as to whether it will really happen. I want us to think about the days in which Zechariah lived. We've read of him in the two readings that we had, and I want to think about these days. First of all, the days in which he lived, and then the day that the angel came, and then the days which followed. Luke's gospel is written by Luke. Luke was both a historian and a doctor, a medical man. And as he writes, as a historian, he writes with the mind of a careful historian. At the beginning of Luke chapter 1, we didn't read those few verses, but at the beginning of chapter 1, it tells us how that Luke, verse 3 of chapter 1, how Luke, he says this: "Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also for me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught." Luke was a careful historian and wrote with that mind of a careful historian, an accurate, orderly account, having carefully investigated everything, having spoken to the eyewitnesses. It mentions the eyewitnesses in the second verse. He writes with the mind of a careful historian, but he writes with the heart of a loving physician too. He's a medical man, a doctor. And I think it's very interesting that Luke's gospel begins with the account of two births. And Luke, being the medical man that he was, would have carefully investigated what had happened. He would have heard what had happened, as everyone had done, but he would have no doubt spoken to the eyewitnesses and spoken to people to find out what really happened. So I want us, as we look at Zechariah, this priest, to think about the days in which he lived, and then think about the day that the angel came, and then think about the days which followed. So firstly, the days in which he lived, verses 5 to 7 of Luke chapter 1. And it's clear that Zechariah lived in difficult days. They were dark days. If you know anything of the Bible, that you know that that God speaks, as it were, but the period since the end of the Old Testament had been a period of about 400 years where God had been silent. There were dark days. 400 years since Malachi had promised the coming of Elijah, or one like Elijah. They were dark days. This was an occupied territory. The king was Herod the Great, a tyrant. None of us would want to live in an occupied territory, but these were the days in which Zechariah lived. The religious leaders were largely ineffective, shackled by their tradition. And not only were they difficult days around them, they were difficult days for Zechariah and Elizabeth too. They were childless, verse 7 tells us. And to be childless in Israel would have been a disgrace. a sign of God's punishment. Difficult days personally for them as well. And it tells us they were growing old as well. They were past it. They were difficult days, much really like the days in which we live. It seems that God is silent. It's just over 500 years since Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door in Wittenberg. And that light which transformed Europe, following that, seems to have gone out. And Europe is a godless continent. And we live in dark days, and God still seems silent. But actually, remember, although God seems silent, that he is still at work. And if you take the book of Esther in the Old Testament, the book of Esther, where the name of God is not mentioned, the silence of God is not the absence of God. And we must never think that God is not at work and not on the throne. God seems silent. The religious leaders of our nation seem mostly ineffective. You may have heard in the news this week or in the Christian press this week that the new Archbishop of York believes that the biblical teaching on sexuality should come second place to 21st century Western cultural beliefs. That's a bishop in our land saying that you know, the Bible comes second place to the cultural views. Religious leaders mostly ineffective. We don't face the tyranny of a king like Herod, but we do face the oppression of freedoms, and we feel very much driven into silence. And it may be that you face personally difficult circumstances as well. Life is tough. Difficult circumstances arise, and I'm sure some of you here, and you know, we all know what it is to live with difficult circumstances in our lives. We might be childless, or we might not be childless, but we see very little of spiritual new life in our nation at this time. Things are difficult. We live in difficult days. The days in which Zechariah lived were difficult days, but although they were difficult days, he lived a godly life. He lived a godly life. He was from a godly line, one of the descendants of Aaron. He was living a godly life, not just Zechariah, but Elizabeth too. Look at what it says about them in verse 6. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. What a lovely testimony. I wonder if we have that testimony of us, living a godly life, and upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments. Zechariah means Jehovah has remembered. His name speaks of that. Elizabeth means God is my oath. They were from a godly line, lived a godly life, and he was serving the Lord faithfully, getting on with it, doing what he could, fulfilling his responsibilities. And verse 8 tells us that he was doing that. He was on duty in verse 8. In the difficult days that we live, do we live godly lives? Are we living those godly lives? Life can seem mundane and ordinary and difficult, but those things shouldn't stop us living godly lives. When life is mundane, God knows, and he wants us to live for him. When life is difficult, God cares and gives his grace. His grace is sufficient for every need. When life is arduous, God sees and gives his strength. Zechariah lived in difficult days but was living a godly life. So that was the days in which he lived. And then what about the day that the angel came? The day the angel came. Well, firstly, it was just an ordinary day. No special day about it. Have a look at what it says in verses 8 to 11. Here was Zechariah getting on with it, living his godly life in the way that he could. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, and he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Zechariah was a priest. There were 24 groups of priests. You can read about it in 1 Chronicles 24. 24 groups of priests. They served for 2 weeks a year. And when they were on duty serving for their 2 weeks, they would draw lots as to who would go and offer the incense in the holy place. And it was this week when Zechariah's division was on duty, their 2 weeks of duty. And Zechariah, he was the chosen one. He drew the lot to go and offer in the holiest of holies, and probably maybe a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do that. Who knows? And the incense would be offered daily before the morning sacrifice and after the evening sacrifice. So here was he doing that. The people were gathered together outside the temple, all the assembled worshippers praying outside. The people were outside the temple. Zechariah was just doing his job as he served the Lord faithfully. It was an ordinary day, but it was interrupted by a message from God. The angel appears to him, and interestingly, there's quite a number of mention of angels here in Luke's Gospel, I think 23 altogether as you go through the book, angels appearing at the time. Only twice are they mentioned by name, and on this occasion, the name of the angel, Gabriel, is mentioned further down. The angel appears, Zechariah was terrified, as is often the case when angels appear. He was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel reassures him. Look at what it says. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Do not be afraid." It's the same as the angel said to the shepherds in the field. The angel appears. Zechariah is terrified. The angel reassures him. And the message is delivered. The message from God. This angel has come from the presence of God with a message from God. And some message it is. Let's read this message, verse 13. "Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." What a message from God. After 400 years of silence, this message from God, packed with all these things. Your prayers have been heard. Your son will be called John. That's an unusual name, not the name that everyone expected, but your son will be called John, and we know him as John the Baptist. And your son is the forerunner to the long-expected Messiah. Your son is the prophet preparing the way for the Savior. It was an ordinary day, interrupted by a message from God, but it was met with a faithless response. It's interesting that, isn't it? Look at what it says in verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." He looked at himself and his wife, rather than to the God of the impossible. It seems that he'd forgotten about Abraham and Sarah, because that's what had happened to them. And response was unbelief. Now you might say that sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? Wouldn't we be the same? How can I be sure of this? But actually, look at what verse 20 tells us. And it's a challenging verse. The angel answered, "I am Gabriel." And verse 20, "And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day of this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at this proper time." That's strong words. You did not believe my words. A godly man, upright and obedient, serving faithfully, yet lacking faith. Not believing God's word. I think it's very interesting when you look at Zechariah and compare him with Mary, because here was Zechariah praying for a child, but didn't believe it when it was answered. And here was Mary not praying for a child, and she believed when she heard. What a contrast. Zechariah prayed, but he didn't believe. Mary didn't pray, but she did believe. So here was Zechariah, this godly man, with this faithless response. Obeying God blamelessly, but yet not listening to God carefully. You see, this angel, Gabriel, said in verse 19, "I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." This angel had come from the presence of God to bring this good news. Yet he didn't listen. I find it very striking and almost troubling in some ways that he's this godly man, serving the Lord faithfully, but yet he didn't listen to what God was saying. And no doubt Luke would have investigated it carefully to say, is that really what happened? A faithless response. And the challenge is for us, are we like that? Oh yes, we're trying to be obedient to God and trying to serve faithfully. We can be upright and obedient, yet it's possible to be unbelieving and not trusting. And we have a more sure word. We have a lot of sympathy, don't we, for Zechariah? How can I be sure this is a message from God? The scriptures tell us we have a more sure word. The scriptures. You know, more sure than a voice from heaven. More sure than an angel from God. The scriptures themselves, the word of God. Do we read them? Do we try to obey them? Do we believe them? Do we trust that God is the God of the impossible? So these were the days in which Zechariah lived, very much like our own. This was the day that the angel came. But then let's just take finally a little look at the days which followed. What happened next? Well, firstly, Zechariah was silenced. And that's what the angel says. "And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my word, which will come true at their proper time." And he was unable to give that priestly benediction. As he went out, he was unable to tell everyone what had happened. The people realized something happened. Oh, Zechariah has seen a vision. But he wasn't able to tell them about it. He had to write down the name of the child. He couldn't say it. Couldn't repeat what this angel from God had said to him. He had this great honor of, and they together had this great honor of being the parents of the last and the greatest prophets, the one who is to introduce the Messiah. Yet it was a great tragedy that Zechariah was unable to tell the good news to others. And it's a sad day when a servant of God is silent. And I think we all feel the pressure of that, and it's unbelief that can drive us to silence, as it did with Zechariah. And we feel the pressure to be silenced in the days in which we live. But let's be those people who trust God, who believe his word, who declare his praises. And let's take the opportunity to proclaim God's faithfulness. Yes, I'm sure we're doing it as we have opportunity, but if you're anything like me, you can feel pressured into silence and find it difficult. But let's, with God's help, proclaim him. So, Zechariah was silenced, but God was faithful. God was faithful. He did what he said. Zechariah was silenced, but God was still at work. And just around this Christmas time with the carol service and scriptures in so many places, and as we go to the scriptures, it says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son to rescue us. In God's perfect timing, just as he promised from before the foundation of the world, just as he promised through those 400 years of silence, when God didn't seem to speak, God was at work. God was waiting for the perfect time, the fullness of time, his timing, to bring his son into the world. Zechariah was silenced, but God was faithful, and the time had come. The prophecies are fulfilled, and the Saviour is on his way. And as we read on in the chapter, well, verse 24, it tells us that Elizabeth became pregnant, verse 24, just as God had said. And eventually, we get on later on in the chapter, and verse 57 tells us that she gave birth to a son, just as God had said. And then we read on and find that Zechariah's mouth was opened. Verses 62, they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, just as God had said. And this baby is given the name John, just as God had said. But this son, John, to Zechariah and Elizabeth is not a priest like his father, but a prophet. And this prophet is no ordinary prophet, but the one who heralds the king. Remarkable, isn't it? God fulfilling his word. And when Zechariah's mouth is opened, his first words are words of praise. Look what he says, it tells us that in verse 64. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. His first words were words of praise. And then there's this Zechariah's song, which is a message in itself. But the first line of it contained two words which were at the very heart of Christmas. He has come, Emmanuel, God with us, and he has come to redeem. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has come, Emmanuel, God with us. And wonderful at Christmas time to think that God is with us. He's not some distant God, but he's come. He's with us. We can be with him and know him. And that he has come to redeem, to pay the price, to free someone. That's what redeem means. And this song is all about Jesus. Not about John, but about Jesus. Zechariah explaining what God is doing now by referencing what God has done in the past. Let's just read through it together. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. He has come, and he has come to redeem, explaining what God is doing now by referencing what God has done in the past. Not come to redeem us from enslavement to some Egyptian tyrant king, but to redeem us from the enslavement of our sin and our brokenness and our rebellion against God. And not through the birth of Jesus, who is eventually born, and not even through his life, but through his death and through the cross, the place where God judged our sin so that we might be forgiven. And because of all this, we no longer have to fear, as the people of that time did. We no longer have to fear, because our judgment can be taken by Christ upon the cross. And we can have faith. We can trust God. We can know his help to believe what God has promised, because we have a risen Saviour, because Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Because Jesus lives in our heart when we trust in him, when we turn from our sin and we trust in him and know his work and his spirit in us. Zechariah's days, they weren't easy days, as ours aren't. The day that the angel came, Zechariah didn't believe what he said, but it was true. And God was at work. And the Saviour has come. So in the days that follow, in the days in which we live, there is a Saviour who rescues us from sin and brings us peace with God and hope for the future.